Last session, Mishnah Aleph of Perek Tes in the Goyim, and this Perek, which consists of three Mishnayos, deals with the Negev called Shchin and Mikveh. And the first Mishnah began, I just want to read the Rav on that. Hashchin via Mikveh mitamim bishua achas. First of all, the period of Hezger is at most 1 week. After the 1 week, a person is either potter or he's mukhlat if something changes. Now, hamikva mitamim mishua ashin v'mikva mitamim mishua echad. The Rav says, im nolad bimkomon beheres. If where they are, the shkinin or the mikva, suddenly in where these wounds are, is born in their place a beheres, a white spot. Then that white spot is prone to two types of tuma. One is the sir lovan, two black hairs turn white, and the other is pisoyon, if the beheris spreads. Michi is not applicable over here because we're dealing with a wound, raw skin, and michi is live, healthy skin. Now in Mishnah Beis, the Mishnah tells us that even though michve and shchin are very much like, they're both wounds, but they're caused by different things. We learned in Mishnah Aleph that the shchin is caused by various types of wounds that are not related to fire or the byproduct of fire, even though heat can be the cause, as in the case of Tiberia, the hot waters of Tiberia, which are the product of heat from subterranean heat. In Mishnah Beis, we learn Hashchin v'hamichveh, which are considered to be one type of tumas adam, ein mistorfim zeh mizeh. Nevertheless, these two types of wounds are not mistorif one with the other. If each one was a half a gris and they were next to each other, they would not be considered to be a gris if a beheris came upon them. V'ein posim mizeh lezeh. If there's a beheris on one and it moves to the other, that's not considered a pisoyon, a spreading of that beheris. V'im posin liur baser, also a beheris that begins in a shchina mikveh, is not considered a pisoyon if it spreads to healthy skin. Lo harbaser posin lesochon, or if there's a beheris and harbaser, a pisoyon, into a shchina mikveh, is not considered to be a pisoyon. Hoyu mordim, if they were raw wounds, taharim. You know, there's a beheres that comes in a totally raw wound. Mordim means that there's moisture there. It could be lymph fluid. It could be pus. If there's moisture there, taharim. Asu krum keklipas hashum. The point of vulnerability is the beginning of the healing process. When there's a membrane no bigger than the thickness of a shum, the peel of a garlic. And this peel, this membrane, is called Zuhi Serevis Hashchin Hu Amura B'Torah. It's Serevis Hashchin, which, if then is covered by a beheris, which in turn picks up Simoni Tuma, that would be a Shchin or a Mikveh. That is, here we're talking about Serevis Hashchin, but the same thing applies to the Mikveh. That's the Zerevis Hashchin Amura B'Torah. Chazru v'choyu, if either the Shchin or the Mikveh completely healed, afal pi shemekom tzalekes, even though there's a scar tissue where in their place, nidonim kor habasar, they revert back to regular skin, and we go back to what we've been studying for the first eight chapters, tumis or basar, with a beheres, which is tamei through pisoyon, sir lovan, or michya. That's the end of Mishnah Beis. Now we'll complete the parak with Mishnah Gimel. Shaul was Rabbi Eliezer, it's probably Ezra ben Harkness. Misha also letoch yodo beheres kesela. If a person had a shchin or a mikveh on the palm of his hand, and there was a beheres the size of a cell, which is a nice size coin, larger, much larger than a gris, Umakomot Revishin, the place with the which we the Beharis Kesel is on its Revishin. Is on a shchin that's in the stage where there's a membrane, kaklipas hashum, a membrane like the peel of a garlic. Ormalahem, so he said to them, and they asked Rabbi Elazar, a person had on his hand, in the place where there was a tzorebis hashchin, a beharis the size of a sela, a very large beharis. So Omer lahem yaskir. The kohen has to be maskir this person. So Omer lulam, why should he maskir them? We'll see what their question is. Legadil shalovan ena ruuya, that hair doesn't grow on the palm of the hand. It's interesting in Yaf Eliak's book, Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, there is one story there where a person did, his life was saved because he had hair in the palm of his hand. But it happened to be a transplant. It's an interesting story. But generally, hair doesn't grow on the palm of one's hand. So, Legadel Seir Lovan Eino Ruya, Ulepisoyon Eino Posa, that the Beharis has no place to be paisa, because there's no beharis. Beharis is not paisa from a michi or shrin into regular skin. So there's no place for it to be paisa. And assuming the beharis is equal, larger than the size of the shrin of the michve. Ule michi in a mitami, there's no tumis michi apropos, because the tumis shchina michya or michve, I'm sorry, tumis shchina michve, since it originates on raw wound, is not again applicable to the beharis. So even if the part of the beharis that might be larger than the shmichve would have a michya live skin in it, the fact that it originated in the tzerevis hashchin, it originated in shchina michve, that is removed from the other din of beharis b'michya. It's that of that parsha. Ulemichya einu mitami. So Omer lahem shemot tichnos v'tifse. Perhaps the beharis will shrink in size. It'll shrink in size to less than a gris, and then the kohen will say that the person is tohor. Let me read the rav. In shematichnos kegris, actually the rav says just the size of a gris. So. Ukshirena kohen b'sof shua yiftar oso. So that doesn't even have to be less than a gris. Since there was no pisoyon, no growth of that baharis, so as if it was no worse than it was when he saw it, after 1 week, if there's no pisoyon, then the or ser lovan, then the kohen is metahir the shchin of the michvah. The Rav gives the example of a gris. It shrunk down considerably. So at the end of the week, the kohen is poter. He says that this mitzvah is now clean. He's tohar. Then afterwards, after he was found to be tohar, tagzer v'tivse b'toch hashchin. Now it spreads out within the shchin. It can be bisoyon within the shchin. So now the kohen saw him. Last when he saw him, and it was matarim. It was kegris. That gris, it had to be a gris, not less than a gris now, because less than a gris would be shakta tum at the pisoyon. So the that's why the Rav says gris. So now there's a beharis gris on the mikvin shchin, and it spreads out just a little bit. For pisoyon, you don't need a large spreading out. It spreads a little bit, but it spreads out into the assuming the shchin and the mikveh with the size of a sela, it spreads out further into the shchin and the mikveh. There's room in the shchin and the mikveh for it to spread. So pisoyon in the shchin and the mikveh is mitame. So that's why he says there's a reason to be maskier the person who has that configuration of the Tzerevis HaShchein, and on top of it a large Beheris. And again, his reasoning is that there are ramifications, because if it should shrink at the end of the 1 week the size of a gris, so he mitzara him. There was no basic change. The shrinking isn't considered a change. No basic change to the Beheris, to the Shechina of the Mikveh. So after that, when he's tahor, if it should spread into the larger Beheris, larger Tzerevis HaShchein, to the Shechina of the Mikveh, then that would be a pisoyon after Tahara, which is a pisoyon, which is mitame. So there's a nafkamina. So Amar lo v'halo mekoma kegris. What if it wasn't, if the original Shechina Mikveh were not large? They were only a kegris, and there's no place for it to spread. So Amar lahem lo shemati. I didn't hear from my Rebbeim in such a case. So the Tosfos Yom Tov points out that this is Rebbe Eliezer Lushito So, that he says, lo shemati, lo omar lo yodati. He doesn't say, I didn't know, because the course of Maharam is Maharam. Rutenberg explains, the Rebbe Eliezer lo omar dover, this Rebbe Eliezer, I'm pretty sure it's Rebbe Eliezer ben Harkness, lo omar dover shlo shama mi rabosav. Kedisa in Sukkah daf chav ches amar alef. That he never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbeim. So Rebbe Eliezer says lo shemati. So Amar lo Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira alamed bo. If you allow me, I'll teach what would be the din if it's kegris. So Amar lo im lekayim divrei chachamim hein. So he says if you're going to mekayim chachamim, you can speak. So Amar lo shemo yivole lo shchin acher chutzalo v'yochu. Even if the gris, even if the shchin, Tzerevis HaShchein and the gris, and the Beheris is only on top of it, is only a gris, right? And there's no place on that shchin mikveh for the gris to be poiseb, we still have a reason to be maskir in such a case. Because he says, Omer lo shema yivole lo shchin acher chutzalo. Maybe there'll be another wound, a shchin acher, right outside, right next to the original shchin. Now it's shchin, it has to be shchin because there's no tseruf or pisoyon between shchin to michya, shchin to michva, or michva to shchin. So another shchin will be right next to it. And then the Beheris might spread to it. So there's room to be maskir in such a case. Ormelo, Chochem Godolato. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Harkness said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, you are a great sage, Chochem Godolato, Shekiyamto Divrei Chachamim. For you have fulfilled or maintained the words of the Chachamim. That's the end of the Mishnah Gimel, and that's the end of Perek Tes.